Good to see each and every one of you back tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we are again. 6 o'clock and the sun's still shining. Praise the Lord. Amen. The rain hadn't started yet, has it? Got a couple of cards to share with you. The first one is from, from Karen and Mike. And for those of you that were here during that observance of the Lord's Supper we had, I don't know, a couple months back or so, right? We took up a special love offering for Karen to help with travel expenses as she was going down to the medical center every day and paying that $14 a day parking. So I think we took up over $400 that observance of the Lord's Supper. That money normally goes into a benevolence fund, but that was benevolence. Handing it on off to them. But anyway, we have a card back, and it says, I just got this card this morning. It says, how grateful the heart touched by the thoughtfulness of others. And then it says, thanks to all of you for everything. Thank you for your generous gift and your forever prayers. We couldn't make it without your loving support. All our love, Karen and Mike. So that's a great blessing. Amen. Then we got a card from Miss Loretta Smith. We had prayer for Miss Loretta this morning and the loss of her daughter. And it says, thank you. It says, New Hope Christian Family, thanks for the vase of flowers and prayers for our family concern during this time of our sorrow. And it says, God bless Loretta Smith. Amen.
Amen.
So we share these burdens with these folks in our body, and we continue to pray for them, right?
Amen.
Well, we do. Any other, do we have any praises tonight? Any testimonies? Yes, ma'am.
I was traveling last week, and just
Wow. Wow. Yeah. God's getting her attention, maybe. Amen? That's right. That's right. Other, yes, sir, Bob.
My son-in-law, Chris, he's down in Florida.
Right. Yeah.
He's kind of funny. Now, he comes up with this. He says, well, as long as God holds me responsible for the upbringing of my kids, because anytime he gets his children, he's got Bible study, children's Bible study, literature with them to go ahead and give them their homework, home and yard. He said, if she's not going to do it, I'm going to make sure I do. And I thought, in spite of all he's going through, that's awesome.
Yeah, amen, man. Trying to get that word to his kids. That's great. Y'all hear the echo, or is it me? There's an echo, brother. Is it the monitors up here? All right, turn it down a tad. All right. Outstanding. Anything else? Yes, sir. James. As he answering prayers. Amen. Yeah. Right.
Like nobody's ever seen before, we will have a lot of people affected. We know who's
taking care of us. Amen, brother. Amen. What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
I have to pray for
Okay. Well, we'll continue on. Any other testimonies or praises? Testimonies or praises. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. It was too low?
It was too high.
Oh, wow.
I don't know because I haven't been taking my medicine.
Taking your medicine? Okay.
And taking my blood sugar.
Oh, okay. Testing your blood sugar. Yeah. Yeah. You made it through. Amen. That's praise. That's praise. Amen. Amen. Well, we had some, I got to praise. We had some members. This is not the praise. This is just the tie. But we had some members that joined several months back and baptized a husband and wife, and they had a little child and everything, and they don't attend here anymore. It's kind of like they joined and they got involved in Sunday school and they came to a fellowship or two at the church, and then all of a sudden, man, they're gone. And checked on them and tried to talk to them and couldn't get anything out of them. It's kind of a deal where, we just decided to go back to the Assembly of God Church. Well, praise God. Amen. You know, be in church. But then we kind of find out that maybe one of them had gotten offended. And, you know, my experience in church is I've been doing this 20-something years, and you're going to get offended. Welcome to church. If you've been regularly attending and you haven't gotten offended, it's coming. I promise you, it's coming. Somebody's going to offend you. So just hold on. So anyway, to make the tie, that's happened. That has happened over and over again at the churches I've been on staff at the churches I've pastored. You'll have people come. You think, man, things are going great. They'll join the church or talk about joining the church or come on strong or whatever, and then they're gone. I mean, then they're gone. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like it's an aberration. It's like, were they really there? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, I got a call, or Sis got a call. I want to say it was Friday, Sis. Guy by the name of John Red. And she gives me the message. She goes, you got a former church member by the name of John Red. Said he was a former church member. Wouldn't leave a number. Just kind of sounded suspicious right there. I said, John Red? I don't remember a John Red. So I kind of blew it off, file 13, that thing, you know. So anyway, I finally go home, and after I thought about it for a while, I remembered a John Red. And he had come to Calvary Baptist Church, him and his wife. Did they have two kids at the time? Had two little boys at the time. And one of their kids was struggling with autism, and I don't think they had him diagnosed. And so this is all, you know, we're trying to love them and help them and help them with their kids and everything. Well, they came for several months, thought they were going to join the church, and all of a sudden, gone. Tried to contact them, kind of got the hem-haw around thing, you know, just kind of hem-hawed around it, crawfished every time you talk to them. Well, what's going on? You know, we would love to have y'all back. You know, is there a problem or whatever? They ended up at Sagemont. I mean, golly, Calvary to Sagemont. I mean, my soul, that's like two different worlds. That's like two different continents, man. Calvary Baptist Church and Sagemont. You could fit all of our facilities in Sagemont's children's building. I mean, Sagemont's a huge church on Beltway 8. John Morgan over there has been there almost 50 years. So anyway, I get this call from this John Red And sure enough, I remembered him. And so I looked him up on my wife's Facebook. And this guy moved. He moved and he lives in Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, what is somebody in Saudi Arabia doing calling me? Right? So I sent him a friend request from Stephanie's Facebook. She was like, she gets this notification on her phone. She's like, I don't know what John read. What's going on? And then he accepts the friend request. I love not being on Facebook. Amen? Use somebody else's page. So then he accepts the friend request, and I'm like, you know, I message him, John, you know, this is Pastor Lee. Understand you're trying to get a hold of me. So he sends back, yeah, I'll try to call you, da-da-da-da-da. So he tries to call Saturday a couple times. I didn't have my phone. We finally connect, and he goes, let me just start by saying this. He goes, you probably won't get another call like this. And I'm, oh, okay. And he goes, first of all, I want you to understand, he goes, when we were attending your church, and this has been, I'm in my third year here, and he had probably left 2 years before I left Calvary. So it's been 5 years, right? He goes, just to let you know, he goes, I probably should have told you this a long time ago. We really enjoyed our time at Calvary. And I was like, well, amen, thank you. And he goes, the problem we had, he goes, our son was autistic, and we didn't know it at the time, and we just needed some more help with him. And so we went to a larger church, which was Sagemont, went to a larger church that had more to offer his age group. I'm sure Sagemont probably has a Sunday school class for a certain age group of just autistic kids. I mean, that's how big the church is. So I said, hey, man, not a problem. Good to hear from you. Is there anything I can help you with? He goes, yeah, this is going to be a little strange for you. He goes, but our pastor just left. And I go, what? Pastor? And he goes, yeah, we're over here in Saudi Arabia. And I go, what church are you attending? He goes, well, they really don't call them churches. He goes, but on the compound where all the Americans and different foreigners and different, I go, compound? He goes, yeah, they're like cities. He goes, they're all walled off and houses. He goes, man, it's just all kinds of people. He goes, there's four groups. He goes, the Catholics have a church, the Protestants have a church, the Episcopalians or something else, and then some other church I never heard. But he goes, we all have churches. He goes, and our pastor just left after, he's retiring after 21 years. And he goes, me and my wife would like to nominate you. And I'm like, well, what? This is a guy I hadn't preached to in 5 years. Man, when they left, I thought it was just like this family that's left here in the last month or two. I thought, man, what have we done? You know, how have we offended them? But just stay the course. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. You know, I hadn't changed a bit in about 15 years of ministry. I've just been doing the same thing. Preach God's word, love God's people. Half the battle is just showing up. Just show up, man. And do what God has called you and led you to do. So anyway, this brother said, you know, me and my wife want to nominate you to be our new pastor. And I said, well, John, you know, my kids are a lot older than they were when you guys were at Calvary. I go, my oldest is going to be a senior next year. I go, she's finishing up her junior year. And I go, she is really tied into the band, brother. I go, I don't know how I would tell her. So Stephanie, we were kind of joking after we got off the phone. Stephanie ran in the house and said, Dad's taking a church in Saudi Arabia. What do you think about that? And Aubrey was like, what? What? And she was like, no. Dad had a form member just visiting with him and wanted to nominate him for the process. And Stephanie goes, Would you be interested anyway in that? And she's like, No. And I go, tell her it will be boarding schools and rich English guys, you know, other British. And she's told, and she was like, no. So anyway, I don't think we're going anywhere. Amen? But it was just a call out of the blue. You know, I told you this morning, what goes around comes around. And sometimes the blessing on the backside takes a while to get here. Amen. But friend, if you'll just keep on, God will see you through. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how much anguish and prayer that we had for that family X amount of years ago. You know, we were wanting to grow just like this church. And it's tough, you know, when you get a family and you think they're a good family, and they just move on down the road. You don't know why. But God knows. Amen?
Amen?
You just keep doing what God's called you to do. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 35. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll take it through verse 38. And we will talk about the resurrection illustrated this evening. Amen?
Amen?
1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 35, 35, 36, 37, and 38. Just those verses. And we will commence to illustrating the resurrection. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads this. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Notice Paul's rebuttal. Notice his response to that. Verse 36. Thou fool. That's pretty strong. It doesn't get hardly any stronger than that. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Verse 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and so every seed his own body. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight. We thank You for loving us tonight. We thank You for saving us tonight. Thank You, Lord, that we can be caught, that we can be accused tonight of being around one another and being in the Word of God. Thank You that we are guilty, Lord, being in Your Word, praising You, singing praises to Your name. Lord, thank You we can still have church in America on a Sunday night. They haven't outlawed that yet. Father God, I pray that we would take the message out of here. We would take it down the highways and the byways, wherever You place us this coming week. May we be on mission. May we have a message from You for those that we see. It's in Your name we pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, those in Corinth who denied the resurrection, we've talked about this. We've been in this chapter for quite a while, and we are coming to the end of it. We are over halfway through. But those in Corinth who denied the resurrection did so primarily because of the influence of that Gnostic philosophy. Gnostic philosophy is we've got a secret knowledge, we've got a higher knowledge, we've got a better knowledge. Yeah, Paul's got some things, but you need to come with us. We're gonna enlighten you further. That Gnostic philosophy, which considered the body to be inherently evil. Inherently evil, and only that the spirit be of any good. Now, there's some truth to that, but that's not the whole story when Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus came in the form of man. He came as God to tabernacle with us, to make a way for us, for all of us. When I say all of us, I mean every part of you to be saved. Amen? They therefore, the Gnostics, believe that resurrection of the body, it's an undesirable thing. Why would anybody want to be, why would they even want to desire to have a bodily resurrection? Now, part of the problem was that some Greeks, Jewish Greeks had a false view of resurrection taught by many of the rabbis. You say, really? Yeah, many of the rabbis of that time. What did they teach? They misinterpreted passages that they had. Remember, the New Testament's not been written. They've only got the Old Testament. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. They're missing 27 of them. God's Word's not finished. Okay? So, these guys are preaching. Paul's writing. Right? It's not all come together yet. So, all these Jewish rabbis have had is the Old Testament. One of their verses for the resurrection would be Job 19:26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And what these rabbis did, they concluded that resurrection bodies will be identical to earthly bodies in every way. That's wrong. That's wrong. They won't be identical in every way. Amen?
Amen.
Man, I'm getting a better body.
Amen.
I'm getting a body. You're getting a body. If you're saved, we're getting bodies that have never been touched by sin.
Amen.
They're glorified bodies. Amen?
Amen?
I'm telling you, they're not the same. They're not the same. We'll get into that a little bit more, right? The rabbis concluded that the bodies will be identical to earthly bodies in every way. The writer of the Jewish apocryphal book, Baruch, and no, don't look in your concordance because you won't, or your table of contents because it ain't in your Bible, didn't make the canon for Scripture. But the writer of the Jewish apocryphal book, Baruch, wrote, for example, that the earth shall then, at the resurrection, assuredly restore the dead. It shall make no change in form, but as it has received, so shall it restore. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The Gnostics with that view made resurrection seem even less desirable and less possible. This is what the rabbis are teaching. Man, we get that. We don't want any of this bodily resurrection. Why would anyone who acknowledged a creator God think of his restoring of bodies, would be more difficult for him, than making these bodies in the first place? Man, if God made them, He can what? He can resurrect them. If God made the universe, He can do what? He can do anything. Amen? Paul asked King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verse 8, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Now, it's incredible to us to think about God raising the dead. But the Bible says it, and no matter how we feel about it, that's what's coming. Amen? And what I think we ought to be getting out of this study on the resurrection is an excitement about it, a looking forward to it, and a working toward that goal in obedience and growing with Jesus. Amen? It is something to look forward to get a brand new body one day.
Amen.
Amen. The way mine feels, I mean, your body may feel different than mine, but the way mine feels, I'm looking forward to a new one, right? I'm looking forward to a new one. So the question is this: why do people still today, including some Christians, and it's like the more liberal they get, the more this doctrine doesn't apply to them. The more moderate they get, the more touchy-feely they get, they don't want to get into this. They want to just think about the here and now. I think God's wanting us to think about all of it. Amen? The here and now and the future to come. Amen? Why do people still today, including some Christians, become perplexed and bothered about how God could restore the bodies of those who have been lost at sea, those who have been blown up in an explosion, those who have been cremated? Pastor, what do you feel about cremation? That body's still going to resurrect, friend.
Amen.
I mean, it's still going to be a resurrected body one day. But they take that body to ashes and they put it in a little box and it's inside a dissolvable plastic and they give it to you and you can take it to the water or you can take it. And what if the wind scatters it from east to west and north to south? Friend, I'm telling you, in a twinkling of an eye, God will bring it back together. Back together. Amen? Why is His restoring those bodies more miraculous and unbelievable than His creating the universe? He spoke it into being. The universe, the day, the night, all of it, the stars. He spoke it. His Word. He said it and it was. Amen? Whether the body has been cremated, blown up, lost at sea, every dead body, no matter how well embalmed, eventually disintegrates to dust.
Amen.
Eventually disintegrates to dust. Therefore, if that body resurrects, then someone powerful is behind the resurrection. We know who that is. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 35, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" 35. 15:35, this passage, this verse still echoes the objection. The objection to and the doubt of a general resurrection. It still echoes it. How could God possibly reassemble the bodies of everyone who has died throughout the ages of history? That's a lot of bodies, amen?
Amen.
That's a lot of power expended, amen? We know a God that's got that power. And that doubt, that question, is followed by another question, by another doubt. What kind of body are the resurrected to have? Paul begins to answer this question in verse 35. Verse 35 is the key to the following verses, I want to say all the way through verse 49. Verse 35 is the key. It's the question that starts his train of thought, that starts his inspirational writing under the Holy Spirit as he pens this letter to the church at Corinth. Paul begins to answer this question four ways, and we begin this evening with the first answer. And I told you we were going to look at the resurrection illustrated. The first answer is nature illustrates this resurrection. That's what it does, beginning in verse 36 and taking it all the way through verse 38. Like denial of resurrection because it seems undesirable, denial of resurrection because resurrection seems impossible came from the skepticism of pagan philosophy. And the skepticism did not come from honest doubt, didn't come from honest ignorance. The skepticism came from people taunting, from people trying to rub these newfound Christians' faith into the ground. They're trying to beat them down. That's what these skeptics are doing. Oh, Paul responds to them accordingly, "Thou fool." That's pretty strong, I said earlier. Thou fool. This word, thou fool or fool, was used to describe the ridiculousness. It is ridiculousness of the one who does not use or does not have the understanding. You're being ridiculous to talk about there not being a bodily resurrection. You're being completely ridiculous. It's all in the Old Testament. And these New Testament writers bring it forward. And Paul does a beautiful job in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, doesn't he? He does a beautiful job. I mean, a comprehensive job of it. The question mentioned in verse 35 were not those of someone who wanted to know, but were the mocking taunts of someone who thought he already knew. And I want to tell you, you see people every day. They think they know. They think they know. They think they've got it figured out. They do not have a clue what this book says. Oh, they've gotten their theology from some program, from something about science. They've got their theology from Oprah Winfrey. They've got their theology from somebody else. But I mean, they have not sourced it from the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? And they talk like they're some kind of authority. You work with these people, right? Try hard to get a word in edgewise, isn't it? Right? They think they know, but they do not know. May they have ears to hear. Amen? Like we talked about this morning. May they have ears to hear. Just as were most of the questions, these questions in verse 35, just as were most of the questions put to Jesus by the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees, the purpose was to entrap and embarrass and to discredit, not to discover the truth. To point out the foolishness of the objection, Paul gives a common illustration from nature. Now, we have the Discovery Channel. We have the, what's the other one? The Learning Channel. We have a this channel and a that channel. I mean, every kind of little subculture in America has its own channel. This thing about nature was about as basic and as straightforward and as truthful for them in the first century as it gets. But let me tell you something, as truthful as it was then, oh, it's just as true today. Amen? Just as true today. In three significant ways, resurrection is similar to the planting and growth of crops. The original form, the seed, is dissolved. The original and final forms are different in kind, and yet the two forms have continuity from beginning seed to mature plant. Continuity. Amen? Make sense? Resurrection is not impossible because resurrection occurs on a small scale continuously in the plant world. You're eating the example of resurrection. If you ate today, then you got some of God's illustration on the resurrection. Wasn't it good?
Amen.
Mine was pretty good. Excellent. Outstanding. Amen. So three things about it, three significant ways. The first one is a dying or a disillusion, a dissolving. Look at verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That's about as good a translation of the New Testament Greek as you can get. Other translations don't quite get it there. But in the King James Version, verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, underline the word quickened if you mark your Bible up, except it die. Amen? When a seed is planted in the ground, the seed dies. It dissolutes. It dissolves. It actually decomposes as it germinates as a seed. The seed must cease to exist in the original seed form before it can come to life in the final form as a plant. Now, I want to say it's probably been 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago. Maybe it's not been that long. You know, it's been a long day. But it's been some time ago that we were trying to find at the end of a service, at the end of a Sunday night service, I don't think it was a Wednesday night service, I think it was a Sunday night service, I was trying to find that passage in John. Well, I've had enough time to look it up, and I found it, right? The seed must cease to exist in the, I thought it was John 10, it's not John 10, it's John 12. The seed must cease to exist in the original seed form before it can come to life in the final form as a plant. John 12, 24 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now the words of Christ, I believe. Before Christ could bear the fruit of salvation for us, He had to die for us. Amen? Before we can participate in the fruit of His resurrection or bear fruit in His service, we too must die. That was a difficult concept for me to wrap my head around. We too must die. We too must die. John chapter 12, verse 25 says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. I think that's where we have the difficulty with this whole concept, is right there in verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Amen? And there's the rain. We didn't make it. The rain is coming. All right? When Jesus was crucified, His earthly body died. This body ceased to exist as an earthly body. Still looked like an earthly body, but it didn't have breath in it anymore, did it? No. No, when Jesus died, He was dead. He was dead. I don't know why I'm amazed. I don't know why I'm amazed. I've seen it so many times. Folks slipping off into eternity. And friend, when they're gone, you know they're gone. That body is not, I mean, they're out. They have transitioned on. They're not there no more. That body looks completely different. When that heart quits beating and that blood stops flowing and that spirit is released, they look completely different. I've seen folks ravaged by cancer. I've seen them ravaged by disease. I've seen them just dying of basic natural causes. And it just always grips me. And then I think to myself, they've moved on. They've moved on. I'm going to help this family grieve. I'm going to help them get through this. But my friend, my church member is gone. They've moved on, right? They on down the road. When Jesus was crucified, His earthly body died, and this body ceased to exist as an earthly body. It was just a shell at that point. Just as with growing crops, there had to be an end to the old before there could be a beginning of the new. In the case of men, in the case of humanity, one body will die to give life to another. Not telling you anything new tonight, just trying to remind you of who we are, what we have, and where we're headed. Amen? First of all, there's a dying. There's a disillusion. There's a dissolving. But secondly, tonight, there's a difference. Look at verse 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Both in the growing of crops and in the resurrection of bodies, there is a difference between the original and final forms. There is a difference. The seed loses identity as a seed and becomes more and more like the mature plant as it germinates, as it begins to bust through the soil, as it begins to seek out the sun. It changes. It's becoming into that mature plant. The seed looks nothing like the mature plant. Only after ceasing to be a seed, the seed become the mature plant. The farmer then harvests the mature plant. Amen? When Jesus was raised from the dead, His glorified body was radically different from the one which died. What came out of the grave on the third day was different from what was placed in the grave. Jesus' resurrected body, you say, how so different? Jesus' resurrected body was no longer limited by time. Isn't that going to be a great feeling? Not to be in a hurry anymore. No longer limited by time. If I just had more time. And then when I get more time, if I just had more money. And then when I get more money, if I just had more time. Right? That's the loop we find ourselves in. One day that loop will be broken and we'll be free from time. Amen? Not to be hurried and rushed around any longer. Well, Jesus, His resurrected body was no longer limited by time, but it was also not limited any longer by space. Jesus wanted to be someplace, He was there. He didn't have to get on a mule. He didn't have to walk down the road. He was just there. He wanted to be somewhere else. He was just there. He just appeared. Amen? His body was no longer limited by time, no longer limited by space, no longer limited by material substance. If He wanted to walk through a wall, He walked through the wall. If He wanted to sit down and eat fish, He sat down and eat fish. Not limited any longer by material substance. During His appearances, Jesus went from one place to another without traveling in any kind of a physical way. Jesus appeared and disappeared at will and entered rooms without opening the door. Amen? Where can I read that? In the Gospels. Over and over again it tells us. In His earthly body, Jesus had done none of these things. None of those things in His earthly body. No. No. In His earthly body, Jesus had done none of those things. It's not recorded in the Bible if He did. Jesus did none of those things. Resurrection changed Jesus' body in a marvelous and radical ways, and at His return, all resurrection bodies, at His return, all resurrection bodies will be changed marvelously and radically. Amen? Well, not only do we have a dying, a disillusion, secondly, we have a difference. But we end tonight with verse 38 with continuity. Continuity. Right? Continuity. If you've ever worked with a voltmeter, continuity. You touch one lead to another lead, you find out if you have a circuit. You have continuity, right? Well, what does continuity mean? Same. It means there's a connection, continuity, right? Continuity to it. Verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, into every seed His own body. Amen? Into every seed His own body. In spite of differences, there is nevertheless a continuity between the old with the new. A continuity. The seed changes radically, but the seed continues as the same life form. A wheat seed does not become a barley plant. A flax seed does not become a corn plant, right? God has given each type of seed an identity that continues into the grown plant. After Jesus was raised, no one recognized Him unless He revealed Himself to them. Once He revealed Himself to them, Jesus was then recognizable by them. Amen? It is a changed body indeed, but it's still Jesus' body. The disciples knew His face once Jesus revealed Himself to them. They recognized His wounded side and His pierced hands. Amen? They recognized the Savior. In a similar way, our resurrected bodies as believers will have a continuity with the bodies we have now. Our bodies will die and they will change form, but they will still be our bodies. They'll still be. So as we close it out this evening, this is what I want you to think about. I think that Paul is trying to communicate to the skeptics of his day, and what we need to be communicating to the skeptics of our day, I think are basically the same thing. When the opportunity arises, when it comes around, we got to have a certainty about us. A certainty about us of our bodily resurrection. We're not on some kind of weird trip when we're talking about our bodily resurrection. It is found in the Word of God. What a blessing to look forward to. We talked about how Jesus gives blessing upon blessing. Well, what a blessing upon blessing He gives, right? Salvation and then sanctification and then one day glorification with a brand new resurrected body. Still my body. Still resembles my body, but different. Better. Amen? Different and better. I think we need to have a certainty about the bodily resurrection. I think we need to communicate to folks with our body language, with what we say, with verses. This is not something we doubt. This is not something we debate. We believe this wholeheartedly. Amen? That we have a resurrection body coming. In that, God has worked this process daily through the centuries. He's worked this process daily through the centuries in His creation of plants. Who gave us the plant world? God gave us the plant world. How did He do it? He spoke it into creation. How does it work? It is a picture of resurrection. It's a picture of resurrection. Just like the sacrificial system is a picture of Jesus' death on the cross. I mean, God just gives us the picture one after another, illustrates it, lays it out there for us. So the bottom line is this, somebody wants to challenge us in this, friend, this is what you say, friend. Person that's about to get saved, I mean, put a positive spin on it. Somebody whose life I'm sowing the seed of the gospel in, friend, if He can resurrect plants, if He can resurrect a plant, amen? If He can take a seed and germinate it and dissolve it and make it into this huge plant that then has more seed on it to go back in the ground and do the process all over again, for He can resurrect your old body. Amen? Amen. He can resurrect it. He can do it with men. And one day we're going to get to see it. It's going to be great. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. Thank You for the resurrection we have a coming. Thank You for the glorified bodies that are, Lord, ours as the trump sounds. Oh, Lord, as the dead in Christ rise, it's going to be awesome. Lord, help us not think this is some kind of sidebar doctrine that we have. Lord, it's not any more sidebar than a devil's hell is for Satan and the lost. Lord, may we hold to it, carry it with some kind of great assurance and pride that we're going to get a body, a confidence, Lord, that we're going to get a new body. And Lord, I pray that fact, not a feeling about it, but that fact is another seed that we can sow in somebody else's life. To point them closer, to point them back, to help them. Father God, one day cancer won't ravage these bodies. Pulmonary fibrosis won't get these bodies. Diabetes won't get these bodies. Lord, kidney failure won't get these bodies. Heart attacks won't get these bodies. Brain aneurysms won't get these bodies. Lord, nothing that has hurt us and brought us down here will touch us. And we praise you for that. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. We've done our praise time and our testimony time. Now it's time to pray time. Brother Carr, will you lift up...